Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And I started this message on last week. If you're live on every camera, give me a thumbs up. If you're live on every camera, give me a thumbs up. I started this message on last week and began to feel a little bit strange, and so I cut it short. And turn that around. Let me see what you're doing. Okay, just focus on what we're doing. I can't hear you. And so I cut it short. I believe that by the grace of God, I'll be fine today. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Always remember that God is going to do his part. So if you fall into temptation and you don't do what you're supposed to do, that's on you. But God is going to do what he is going to do, because God cannot lie. And God, as we heard from a gospel message this morning that I shared, cannot change and will not change. And there have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You're not special. You're no different than anybody else. And this is not only to the heterosexuals but to the homosexuals. I was so glad to hear that Kenya, the country of Kenya, voted and made it very clear that there is no scientific proof that people are born homosexuals. And that is true. Everybody is responsible for their sin, and everybody is responsible for what they are tempted with. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Then I want you to turn back to Ephesians. This is our Onward Christian Soldier Bible class that we do every Sunday, and we're dealing with the subject of temptation. The Bible reads in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 32, "Be ye angry and sin not." It is okay to be angry, and we need more people getting angry about the foolishness and the evil and the garbage that goes on not only in our churches but in our families and in our society. But don't sin. We have a thing going on in so-called evangelicalism or in Bible-believing churches, conservative churches, orthodox churches, that you should not get angry at all, and that your problem is you need anger management. No, what we need is sin management. We don't need anger management. And just make sure you don't sin. And if you are saved and you fear God, you can get angry, but you don't have to sin about it. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So many of you people are hyperventilating. You go to bed that way. You wonder why you can't sleep. And that's why it is commonplace today for sleeping pills to advertise like never before. When I was a young person, we didn't see that many sleeping pill commercials. But we have people who are so angry and so turned up, so upset, so mad, they don't even have relations with their mate. And mad as the devil, stay up all night long, leaving the house, slamming the door, punching their arm, their hand and arm through the wall, and all such foolishness. We've had an increase in domestic violence because we have a sin management problem. The greatest thing in the world is the family, because it's going to teach you how you can get angry about things and not sin. I know you little prosperity gospel Christian people have a wonderful, perfect, sweet little family life, but you're a lie and you're not telling the truth. Everybody has issues and problems because we're all sinners, some more than others. But you don't have to sin against your family member or your church member or your job member or whatever, or your neighbor. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That follows hard upon that first verse. Don't give place to the devil. Some of you have the sin of Pharisaic pride in your life, and you're stubborn and you're rebellious, and nobody can tell you anything, even though you're supposed to be in subjection and subordinate to that person. And you can't help yourself. You act like you can't help yourself, running off at the mouth and trying to defend yourself, and got something always to say. See, you're giving place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. One lady had four restraining orders against four different men. And so at some point, the police officers and the investigators started saying, now maybe this woman is the problem. Maybe it's not the men who are angry. She's angry. And she's sinning and lying on men. One man, we were notified this past week, one man was killed because of a lying woman. He got killed because of a woman who lied on him. Be very careful, folks. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. We have liars and we have thieves in the church. And yes, you have them in your Christian family. And you better stop lying for your son. Stop lying for your daughter. Trying to defend your lying, thieving son who, yes, was raised in a Christian home, but he's a liar and a thief and a crook. And you better agree with the police and the investigators very quickly and tell the truth. Thank God for those parents who know their children have done something wrong and that they are capable of doing something wrong. like stealing, and they tell the police, yes, he did it, and you do what you have to do. Instead of getting mad at the police, and you're a liar yourself as a parent and a cheat, and want to blame the police for doing their job. And by the way, I'm black, but I'm for the blue. My experience with police officers in some of the most racist towns in the nation have been good. And so I think we need to get our eyes off of the police officers and get our eyes on our children who are doing wrong right under our noses. And we think foolishly, oh no, not my child, because I raised him up in church. Not my child, my precious little boy. No, no, your precious little boy is a 27-year-old devil, and who has fooled you and duped you because you're not paying attention. Don't you get mad with me. So I'll tell you what, I'll never send you an offering again. That's all right. I'll make it without your offering. I made it for 40 years without your offering. You say, preach, you'll never preach in my church. That's fine. I don't want to preach in your church, because I would have to backslide to get into fellowship in most cases. If you're mad about what I said, then I would have to backslide to get into fellowship with your church. It's time out. Time out for getting mad at the police officers and the sheriff. Are they wrong? Are there individuals who are wrong sometimes? Yes. But your child is wrong many times as well, more often than the police officers. And your job is to raise your child, not for the police officers to raise your child. Don't get me started. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. This is what happens when people get angry. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. One of the quickest ways to grieve the Holy Spirit of God is through your anger. Your sinning after you get angry, your wrath. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And everybody who's saved, everybody who is born again, you know when you cross the line, don't you? Amen, somebody. You know when you cross the line. When you have said something or you have done something, you have sinned with your mouth, you have sinned with your attitude, you have sinned with your behavior, with your wrath, and you have grieved the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will let you know when you grieve him. He's not going to leave you if you say, but he's going to check out. You're going to feel a broken fellowship with God. You're going to feel it. If you're saved. Now, people who are saved know what I'm talking about. People who are lost have no clue what I'm talking about. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and this is what's wrong with some of you people, you feel your heart is filled with bitterness, and that bitterness is eating you up. And wrath and anger. Watch the person who is angry on the inside and bitter and full of wrath on the inside, mad as hell all of the time, sad as hell all of the time. Watch that devil, because that's the one who will explode on you. That's the one who will get a gun and hide it and then go shoot everybody up and shoot everybody but the person they hate. They're mad at somebody at the house. They're mad at somebody in their family, but they'll go buy a gun and go shoot up a school and then kill themselves, thinking they're getting back at the people at the house. So it's so convoluted, you know, it's of the devil. and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And Lord, for some reason we get more viewers and more amens and more likes, more hearts, more stars, or whatever they do on the different platforms in this series than we, that is the entire series on temptation, than we do even for the gospel, which I'm going to preach in a few minutes. And I'm going to share the gospel in this message, as always, but the next service is a totally gospel service. It is amazing, but it is true, and probably because so many people are dealing with these issues who are already saved. And so, Lord, give everybody victory and understanding that we can get angry, should get angry in some cases, but we should not sin and become hateful and bitter and resentful and hurt others. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would crucify our flesh, the old man within us all, and those of us who are saved, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost. And revive us, Lord, again, who are saved. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Rebuke and bind that devil and that demon, that satanic spirit of Judas, that satanic spirit of rebelliousness, bitterness, resentment, bad attitudes, bad spirits, Sanballat, Tobias, this demonic spirit of anger and going to bed at night full of anger and wrath and bitterness, trying to go to sleep, but agitated, upset. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give people a sweet victory over their anger issues and their sin issues, and help them to stop trying to get anger management and get sin management. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. As I shared with you earlier, I was delivering this Bible study message on last week and felt kind of strange and had to cut it short, and so I want to finish it today, and I want to finish this series if not this week, not the whole series, but this particular series within a series dealing with the temptation of anger and dealing with the temptation of wrath, the twin sins, and then the sin that comes after that. So many people are in jail or in hell. They were in hell before they realized. They were in eternity before they realize what they had done. So many people, thousands, have said, I blacked out. I lost it. Because anger got them to the point of sinning where they killed somebody. Just yesterday, a white police officer in Mississippi, married police officer, evidently got involved with a black woman who was a mother of four. And so this was not the typical racial situation that we hear so much about today. But somehow, evidently she made him mad, and maybe told him that if you don't leave your wife and become my husband or whatever, I'm going to tell your wife what you have been doing, or I'm going to report you to the police or something ridiculous like that that we say when we're in sin. See, this is why you need to be, if you are a child of God particularly, very careful who you get involved with. Because I don't care how handsome or how pretty they look on the outside, they may be a monster on the inside. And so anyway, something happened, and he shot her dead. Her little 8-year-old boy, they were going to try to pull a little prank on her, and the kids were returning from their uncle's house, and you know how kids are, and even uncles are, they want to pull a prank on her or something and surprise her or something like that. And the little 8-year-old boy walked in and found his mother dead, and somehow the police picked up, and credit to the police, picked up that this white police officer had been involved with this black woman, and things went awry. And no doubt in a moment of anger, he just lost it. Because some people really, really cannot handle being exposed. Some people cannot handle being exposed to others for what they have been doing. There are some who are like that, who have pharaohistic pride. They're so proud and so arrogant, and they want people to think of themselves, to think of them rather as, you know, an upstanding citizen and a great person, when they're just as corrupt as the devil himself. And that pride drives them, particularly that pharaohistic style, the pride drives them to kill somebody if they are going to be exposed. Anger leads to sin. Sin leads to death. My beloved, be very careful who you deal with. Be very careful who you get involved with, and stay away from sin at all costs. Even if you're lost, I'm telling you, stay away from adultery, fornication, stay away from homosexuality. It's going to end badly for you. It never ends good. Never, 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 never. Never, never, never. Anybody you get involved with that you're not in holy matrimony with, and y'all got it going on together alone, is going to end badly for you in God's sight. And if you don't hurry up and repent and get out of it, God will expose you to the whole world. People will get angry on you. People that you used to love, people that you were so crazy about, people that you thought, you know, that person who you thought was cute, or she had it going on, you loved her so much, you loved him so much. But they can get angry about something. The devil can push them. That's why the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. Listen to me carefully. Even if you get angry, even if you sin, don't give place to the devil, because you're getting ready to get messed up real bad. Because the devil ain't playing with you. while you're laughing and giggling, got your martini in your hand and thinking about what y'all going to be doing later on and so forth and so on. And you're just laughing and grinning your little head off in your sin. The devil ain't laughing. Mm-hmm. The devil said, I got you. Go ahead. And some, you need to thank God, by the grace of God, he got you out of it before you can get killed yourself or before you killed somebody, and both are bad. So as we return to this passage, ladies and gentlemen, in Ephesians chapter 4, let us consider another motivation that might prevent us from sinning in anger. This is the same from last week. It's not a continuation. Good. Verse 30 of this passage says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, you are sealed to the day of redemption. Put your hands down in the back. You are sealed to the day of redemption. So you can't get out of it. You're sealed. You can jerk. You can do all the wiggling you want to do. You can't. It's a done deal. Okay, so that's, you need to understand that. Okay? So either you're going to please God and the Holy Spirit and the Son of God, or you're going to grieve God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, but you won't be getting out of it. Now, when you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, that's a painful experience. And the pain can be ratcheted up if you're not willing to confess your sins and repent. Some of you, therefore, must understand, because you're angry and you're sinning with your anger, you're bitter. And God knows it. The Holy Spirit knows it because he's on the inside of you. You are resentful. You're unforgiving. There are people in your life that you're going to have to forgive, whether they ask for forgiveness or not. Watch this. Even if they don't ask for forgiveness in sincerity, because you got some folks who say, all right, then I admit I did it. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? No. You got to forgive that devil too. These reluctant confessors who confess and admit with a bad attitude. Well, if I offended you, then I'm sorry. And by the way, you're going to have, listen to me very carefully. If you're going to deal with people, you're going to have to deal with this issue. People offend one another. Why? Because we're sinners. We are walking offense machines. Okay? That's what we do, is offend. We offend God from the time in the womb we were telling lies against God and telling lies. When we came out of the womb, we told lies. I don't want to get into it, but you know, babies lie as well. There's nothing wrong with the baby. The baby was just fed. The baby was just changed. And you walk away, she's lying. He's lying. It's a lie. They're going crazy over nothing. Okay, we are walking offense machines. And if you're going to deal with human beings, you're going to have to forgive those, even those who don't ask for forgiveness. And even worse, those who know they're wrong, but they're so stinking proud, they won't admit they're wrong in sincerity. They pop their head from the left to the right. And yeah, well, if I offended you, you're so sensitive. If I offended you and popping left and right, please forgive me. Would you forgive me? And the attitude is on you now. You have to forgive those devils as well and let it go. One preacher wrote a book one time titled Let It Go. There's things you're going to have to let go, people, particularly if you're going to survive in a family, particularly if you're going to survive in a church, particularly if you're going to keep your job, you're going to have to let it go. Because as sure as I'm standing before you, somebody's going to steal your Chick-fil-A sandwich out of that refrigerator on the job. And you can turn around like the man on TV and say, that's wrong, it's bad, people. All you want to, you're not going to get that sandwich back. And you're not going to know who it was who stole it. And you're going to have to forgive them if you want to stay on that job. Or you can stay mad and lose your job and launch an investigation and try to get an act of Congress about somebody who stole your Chick-fil-A sandwich. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we act or speak out of our anger toward others. When we express wrath physically or verbally, we are not only hurting others, but we are hurting ourselves worse, and we're hurting God. And by the way, David made it very clear, all of our sin is against God. The sin you're committing right now is against God. It's not against the person that you think is against. You got people who are angry and bitter and mad and sad. They don't like something someone did. And they are mad at them right now. They're angry. They're sinning because they're bitter. They're resentful. And they think they're hurting that person. That person's not even thinking about them. They're hurting themselves worse, and they're hurting God. They're grieving the Holy Spirit. If grieving is not hurting, I don't know what it is. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not pleased. Some of you are tied up in knots in your soul and in your spirit because you're grieving the Holy Spirit with those inside sins, bitterness, resentfulness, hate, a bad attitude, and you're tied up in knots. You can't even speak. You can't speak up loud for people to hear you. You can't look people in the eye because you're living a lie. You are a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake, and you know it. These inside sins that are not open to the eyes of the undiscerning, but there are people who can discern very quickly. They can see inside of you. God gives them the ability to do so. I know you don't like it, but it's true. And even when we express anger and or wrath internally, we are hurting God who lives inside of us via the Holy Spirit of God. And some of you are sinning and you have never said a word. You're sinning on the inside with a wicked, hateful, resentful, proud, stubborn, rebellious heart. You think it's against somebody who you think offended you, but it's against God Almighty. Because it doesn't matter if someone offended you or not. God wants you to be right with Him. And He's going to constantly tell you, forgive him or forgive her. Let it go. Leave it alone. Stop stewing on this. Stop being upset about it. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be, people. Leave it alone. Some of you are holding on to stuff that happened 30 years ago, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And on the other hand, you got people who are holding on to sin, living a lie, never telling the truth about something that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 15 years ago. Won't confess it. Why? Because of the same sin, that Pharaohistic pride. And when I mention the Pharaohistic pride, ladies and gentlemen, it's deadly. Eternally deadly. People would listen to me very carefully. I come from a family where the older ladies would know things. that other people in the family didn't know. And they taught my mother that there are some things you carry to the grave. And I'm not the only one that has a background like that. In the Deep South, this is very common. Mr. Edwards of Edwards Farming Supply, a white man, is really your grandfather, but nobody says anything. Your last name is Edwards. You went to school with the white Edwardses. Y'all played together, but you didn't know you were brothers. You didn't know you were relatives. You know why? Because now, somebody knew. The old black mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, they knew. But they would not say anything. But when you turn 18 or 19, they'll pop something on you. You know, your father has another son. He's a Catholic priest. He's your brother. I said, no, he's not. But, you know, thanks for telling me, grandmother. Why am I bringing that up? I'm bringing that up because there are many people who live by that philosophy. I remember my mother telling me that philosophy. She said, son, there's some things you take to the grave. I said, well, since I've been saved, I ain't taking nothing to the grave. And there are some people, what they mean by that, they don't understand it. They would rather go to hell than to tell the truth. They don't understand what they're doing, but that's what they'll do. There are people who are living a lie right now. Instead of telling the truth and just accepting the consequences, they would rather die and go to hell. They'd rather take it to the grave. But be that as it may, please notice these words from Dr. Albert Barnes's commentary on this passage. This verse is addressed to Christians, and it proves that it is possible for them to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's talking directly to Christians, because lost people can't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's be clear. The Greek word used here, lupeo, means to afflict with sorrow. Isn't it so sad how we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we do that, we afflict with sadness and sorrow. To make sad or sorrowful, to grieve. The common meaning is to treat others so as to cause grief. Paul is admonishing us not to act toward the Holy Spirit in a manner which would produce pain in the bosom of a friend. And your best friend is Jesus. Your best friend is God. Your best friend is the Holy Spirit, three in one. There is a course of conduct which will drive the spirit from the mind, as if he were grieved and pained away. If asked what that conduct is, we may reply, number one, open and gross sins. Let me help you. Adultery will grieve the Holy Spirit. Fornication will grieve the Holy Spirit. Homosexuality will grieve the Holy Spirit. But not only those things. Lying would grieve the Holy Spirit. Killing your baby in your womb will grieve the Holy Spirit. Abortion. Stealing will grieve the Holy Spirit. And living a lie about any of these things will grieve the Holy Spirit. Bitterness will grieve the Holy Spirit. Resentment will grieve the Holy Spirit. Stubbornness, pharaohistic pride, and pride itself will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Being so mad at somebody, you can speak to God, you think, And you can speak to your brothers and sisters at the church, but you got people in the family you don't speak to. You can smile and grin with strangers, but you hate your own family members. That grieves the Holy Spirit, and you know it, because you are showing up as a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake. They are particularly referred to here as theft, falsehood, anger, and kindred vices. That means these are vices that are connected. See, when a person steals something, what do? Next, they lie about it. If you cannot look people in the eye, you are a liar. You're dishonest. Kindred vices, which would grieve the Holy Spirit of God and cause him to depart. Number two, anger in all its forms. Nothing is more suited to drive away all serious and tender impressions from the mind than the indulgence of anger. Some of you are angry right now, but you're quiet. But you have anger in your heart. And you have chosen to sin in your heart through bitterness and hatred and resentfulness. Some of you are angry at white people because of something that happened in the past. All white people. It's amazing how that works. Some of you are angry with black people. Some of you are angry with the immigrants. Some of you are angry with brown people because of things, experiences. Some women are mad and angry with all men today. And then get mad if the man says anything to them. They're still mad. Get mad when he doesn't say anything to them. Men are angry with women today. Resentful and bitter. And we have the effeminate crowd, the homosexual crowd, the lesbian crowd. They're mad at everybody. And some of the most volatile and vicious and vindictive people on earth is the homosexual crowd. And they're sinning too. Being angry and sinning against God and sinning against themselves. Number three, licentious thoughts and desires. The Spirit of God, and listen now, you know, this includes looking at pornography, people that you're not married to. It's okay to desire your husband or to desire your wife and have thoughts towards them that God has provided for you. That's okay. But we're talking about lust after people you're not married to and people you cannot have and people who would not have you once they met you. The Spirit of God is pure. And he dwells not in a soul that is filled with corrupt imaginings and lust in your heart towards other people that you're not married to. It grieves the spirit, man. This is serious. Salvation is a very serious matter. This system, what I call the system of grace, is a very serious matter, and you can't get around it. It is what it is, and you're going to have to deal with it, and you can't change it, by the way, no matter how hard you try. Number four, ingratitude is another big one. Oh, my soul. We have so many unthankful people in the world today. Ungrateful. Hearts are so wicked, they can't even thank God for a sunshiny day. They can't thank God for a rainy day. Some of you complain about all these storms. And God is trying to bless you. There's a football player, even a football player understands the power of gratitude. He's a wide receiver. Somebody hits him hard. Once he catches the ball, as long as he holds on to the ball, he gives him and says, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. He even understands the power of gratitude. I guarantee you one of the signs of you're not being saved is that you are not thankful. That's automatic, my dear friends. Once, if you're born again, you're going to have a thankful heart, a grateful heart. We feel ingratitude more than almost anything else. And why should we suppose that the Holy Spirit would not feel it also, particularly when we are we're not grateful? He is grieved by that. God is grieved by it. Jesus Christ is grieved by it. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how Jesus does it. I don't know how the Holy Spirit puts up with it. But I thank God for them. I thank God for their mercy, love, and grace. Number five, neglect. Often the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray. He disposes the mind to seriousness, to the perusal of the Bible, to tenderness and penitence. But we neglect those favorite moments of our piety and lose those happy seasons for becoming more like Him. Neglect. So many of us neglect prayer, neglect the Bible, neglect reading the Bible, neglect our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we can call, we don't call. When we are prompted to call, we don't call certain people who need our encouragement and our help. When we can give, and we don't give when people need help. Not only when trying to overcome anger and wrath, but in our entire Christian walk, we ought to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And in closing, ladies and gentlemen, if you struggle with anger and wrath, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face that temptation. I understand there are quite a few folk thinking about getting married. If you have an issue with anger and sinning with your anger, I would encourage you to get your heart right with the Lord. Get the help you need, the counseling you need, with a godly pastor before you get married, because it's going to be a very difficult situation if you don't. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Holy Father God, and we thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, for what you will do. And Lord, we thank you for this Bible study lesson, this message. Lord, I pray that you would hide it in the hearts of the people here and help them to confess their sins, to repent, and Lord, to stop being hypocrites and phonies, and not only here but out there, Lord, across the country and around the globe. And Lord, help everybody who is saved and who names the name of Christ to cease grieving the Holy Spirit. And we pray now that you'll save every lost soul under the sound of my voice. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, and you understand that you are a sinner and that you're on your way to hell, and you're ready to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, and you're ready to do that, and you're ready to pray and ask him to save you and to come into your heart and life, I am willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong and evil in your sight. I understand that I deserve hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day, I believe in you, Lord Jesus. Please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me never to grieve your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the life of righteousness. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.